recording. Okay, so learning tonight is the Lilui Neshama of Malka Luzun's father, Nissim ben Sutana, Zichron Levracha. Okay, we're on Daf Kuf Chaf Hey tonight. I hope everybody's going well. It's a Yom Tzom, a fast. So we're on Kuf Chaf Hey Yom Aleph. Okay, we're in the topic of Muksa. So if you remember yesterday, just to refresh your recollections, we learned in the Mishnah, let's say you have a Keli, a vessel that breaks on Shabbos. So the Tanakama, who will come to learn, is Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir holds that as long as it's Ra'ui for a purpose, it's not Muksa. So in other words, it's, let's say I had it was an Areva, a mixing bowl, and it broke, but the mixing bowl could still be used for other purposes. The fragments could still be used for other purposes. It's not Muksa. And then Rabbi Yehuda's Cholik with that. Rabbi Yehuda holds, and again, he holds from Nolad, he holds that each one of the pieces is Nolad unless the piece can be used for a similar purpose. So in the case of the mixing bowl is to contain like a thick mixture. So if I can use it for the, the mikveh, if he could use it for, 1 second, what does he say? So if he could use it for like a thick porridge, I think it's a mikveh, right? Didn't we have it? Yeah, mikveh. Right. So if you can use it for a thick porridge, that's a similar usage. That's not nolad. I'm using it for the same purpose, not nolad. Otherwise, I can't use it. Okay? That's the story up till now. All right? So on the top line of Kuf Chaf Hey Amud Aleph, 125a, the top line. So Amar Bar Hamduri Mar Shmuel. Bar Hamduri says the name of Shmuel, Kromiot Shel Machatzelot Mutrat Tatlon B'Shabbat. So they had these mats. The mats were made of reeds. Those are the Machatzelot. They would usually sit on the mats. They're sitting on the mats. They assume they're on the floor. But the mats also would cover dirt and things like that. They would have like another purpose. So he says, Kromiot, let's say, have little fragments of the reeds that broke off on Shabbos. So he says, Mutar Tatlon B'Shabbat. He says, those fragments are not Muksa. He says, my taima, I'm a Rava Bar Hamduri Asperli. So Rava says, Bar Hamduri, explain it to me personally. He says, Machatzelet good for the Maichazi. What is a Machatzelet, the mat, good for? In other words, besides sitting, what is a Machatzelet good for? The Kisui Be'afra. It's good to cover dirt. So Rashi says, either it's dirt that I want to cover Tzowa with, or it just keeps the dirt down in the house. You know, like I have a dirt floor, so I have a big mat, so the dirt stays down. He says, Hani Nami Chazin the Kisui Behu Tinofet. So he says, these little fragments of reeds, they're good to cover dirt with. So that's a similar usage. So let me see what I have here. 1 second. Okay, here's the way they have the picture here. So you look at diagram 1218. Everybody see it? So here they have the reed map and mat, and they have little pieces that are sort of, you know, coming off of it. That's the way they understand it. All right. Now, the thing is that Shmuel really
separated.
They separate, totally separated, totally separated. Yeah, so now the way, now Shmuel understands that in the previous sugi we had on the previous daf, Shmuel would say it just has to have some usage, it doesn't have to be similar usage. But here, they brought down the article based on the Ritva, they said that the pieces of reeds are like in a very negative position vis-a-vis muksa, because they're commonly used just to throw in the garbage, or they're used to, you know, fuel the fire. So that would be muksa. So here we need, it has to be, in order to save it from muksa, it has to be like a similar purpose. So it has a similar purpose. Okay, let me just do a few more lines and I'll pause on the sixth line. Am Rabbi Zeira Amar Rav, Rabbi Zeira says in Rav, Shiare Pruz Miod, Asur Tatlon B'Shabbat. Shiare Pruz Miod are like pieces of a talus, and it was like little pieces, like little rags, little swatches of cloth that the talus has fallen apart. So he says, I can move them. Lataltel in Gemara is usually relates to Muksa. When it says Lataltel, it's usually talking about Muksa. It's a general klal. So he says here, so Amar Abaye, B'matlonio, Chemhen, Shlosh, Shalosh, Lochazim, Lelaniim, Lelashirim. So Abaye says, we're talking about small pieces that aren't even three etzbot by three etzbot. If you remember, maybe Dafyomi people, actually it was this Masechta. Who remembers where in this Masechta we had about these Montloniot?
It has to do with whether the piece was chashuv to the poor person or not to the poor
well,
person.
Well, you're getting warm. You're getting warm, but give me an address. What?
Tumatara, no?
No. Yeah, give me an address. Where's the sugya? Remember?
It's Shabbos.
Yeah, but we're in Shabbos. It's a big Masechta. Anyway, so
where the needles?
Last volume or two volumes ago.
Well, all right. Well, I remember it from the second parak. The second parak had a sugya. We were talking about lighting the Chanukah menorah, and we hooked into a topic. you know, about the, remember the worn out begadim of the Kohanim, and then the Gemara said about, the way I remember, had about like small garments. Anyway, but the basic idea is, if it's a small piece, less than three isbo, three isbo, even an ani, even a poor person would not use it as a patch. So mamela, then it's not ruwi for anything, and it's muksa. Okay,
can you cover garbage with it?
So the Gemara takes it not. The Gemara takes it not. Did you see something about this or not? The Gemara takes it. He says here in footnote 4, he says...
you just said before about covering garbage.
Yeah, that was with the straw. So he's mechalik that from the straw. He says, one minute. He says, however, scraps of ordinary cloth may be moved, even though they're smaller than their size, they're suitable covering dirt. He says, the fabric, it tears off a talus, people will not use it to cover dirt, for it's improper to assign a degrading function to something that had been designated for a mitzvah. So the first derech he wants to say, since it was used for a mitzvah, so I'm not going to use it at derech b'zayon. I won't use it derech b'zayon. So I'm not going to use it to cover dirt. In other words, that in the earlier city, a little small piece we used to cover dirt. So I'd use it just for a garment, but not to cover dirt. That's his first hesber. So he says, others explain, this is in footnote 4, that Rav Shulam pertains to all scraps, less than three finger breasts. They're so insignificant, people automatically discard them. Well, thus, although they can conceivably be used to cover dirt, they are muksa. Even if they tear on Shabbos, they are muksa, since they are no longer suitable for the task they've been prepared. It's just like people that they throw it out. That's the basic answer, or that's the best they have with it. Any other questions, comments, thoughts? Okay, I'm moving on. Now, the two dots. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan, Shivrei Tanu or Yashan, Harein Kechol Akelim, and Talim B'chatzir, Dibre Meir. If I have broken pieces of a Tanu, Tanu is an earthenware vessel, and it broke, it smashed, whatever. And so they're like any Kalim that I could be carried in the Chatzir. So Tosus points out, it's Lav Dafka the Chatzir. Remember we had in yesterday's Daf, it's like, according to one opinion, it has to be Dafka in the Chatzir, where you have the Kalim, another opinion, even the Karm later, but finally the Rabbi says, even the Rishus Rabbim. And Tosus says, second Tosfos, Lav Dafka B'chatzir, the Rav Nachman, the Rava, the Sharba Karmeli, the Rishus Rabbim. According to Rava, it's even permitted Rishus Rabbim. So when it says, L'chatzir, it doesn't mean only L'chatzir. So Remeir, again, so remember in the Mishnah, what I went over before, we had two opinions in the Mishnah that we did before, Mishnah from yesterday's daf. So the Tana Kama, who was Rebbe Meir, he holds that if a keli breaks on Shabbos, I can move, if it's usable as a keli, I can move it. And that's Rebbe Meir. It's the same opinion here. He says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, remember Rabbi Yehuda held from Nolad. It's Nolad, so I can only use it if it's similar purpose. He says, Eini Talim, Eini Talim, I can't move them. I can't move it because it's Nolad. He says, hey, Rabbi Yossi, Mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So Rabbi Yossi gave testimony in the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. We usually say, hey, it means Ruzal Halacha is that way. And the Halacha anyway is usually like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. He says, Al Shivri Tanuri Yashan Shnei Talim B'Shabbat, that they could be moved. He says, Ba'al, Kisu Yoshin Atzarich Beit Yad. This relates to a Mishnah you're going to have in tomorrow's daf. There's Machloket with Kalim, whether they need a handle to move it, certain types of Kalim. So he said that it doesn't need a handle to be able to use it. So the Gemara says, "B'mai kemiflagi." What's the point of dispute in this brisa? So the Gemara says, "Welcome, Robert. We're on Kuf Chaf Hey, 125A, three lines above where it gets wide." So he says, "B'mai kemiflagi, Amar Abaye, ba'osin mein malacha, v'inosin mein malachtan kemiflagi." So he says it's the same machloka we had in our Mishnah that if I could use the keli for a malacha, but not its original malacha. So is it muksa or not muksa under those circumstances? So according to Tana Kama, i.e. Rabbi Meir, it's not muksa. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it is muksa unless I could do a similar purpose with it. It has to have a semblance of what it was previously used for. But as the Rabbi Yehuda Latame, Rabbi Meir Latame. So they're each following the Shita that they had in our Mishnah. Okay? Any questions, comments, or thoughts? Everybody good?
Rabbi Yehuda holds by Nolan, right?
Right.
That's what he's saying.
Correct. All right? All right, so Matkiv LaRava. So Rava asks a strong, not Kafta, is a strong question, usually based on Svara. So Matkiv LaRava, Ihachia, the Miflagi B'Shivri Tanur, Liflagi B'Shivri Kalim. If that's the Pshat in the Braisa, why is the Braisa teaching me Dafka Shivri Tanur, broken pieces of a Tanur? It should say Shivri Kalim, like our mission mentions Kalim, because their Machloket is across the board Machloket. So what are we mentioning Shivri Tanur? Now the Gemara eventually is going to come back to this. So the Pshat that we set up till now is really going to be the correct Pshat. But the Gemara is going to move away from it, have a complicated alternative shot, reject it, and then come back to this shot. Okay? So everyone remember that the shot in the Mishnah is just, it just relates to, It just relates to like a regular keli that breaks, and it's an issue of nolad. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Liflugu b'shivrei kelim ba'alma." So elam Rava b'shivrei dahi tanur kimifli. So rather, Rava says when it refers to tanur, it means quote the tanur, means the tanur, mishnah of tanur, mesechet kelim, and that's the mishnah that we're referring to. And we'll have to learn that mishnah, then we'll learn the pshat, and then we'll reject it and come back to our original pshat. Okay, so he says, "Ditam." We learn the mishnah mesechet kelim, the tanur al piabur. I have a tanur. Tanur is like a cylinder. It's an earthenware cylinder. So I put the cylinder on a bore, on a pit, or a dud. A dud is, I thought it's a depression with bricks, but in the picture book, let's see picture book. So the picture book here, if you look at picture 1222, the picture book has got, this they say is the bore, and this they say is the dud. It's like built up. I thought they're both in the ground, but the key, and here they have bricks with the bore. I thought the bore is just digging a hole, and the dud has got bricks, and that's the way it sounded more from the art scroll. Anyway, so the Gemara says that according to the Tanur Rabbi Yehuda, if look at picture, this is 1223. If I put the tanur on a hole in the ground, here's got the hole in the ground. You see the coals underneath it, and I wedge a rock in so it's a tight fit, or I wedge it here, and here's the rock. Anything. Or it's like this, and I wedge the rock. Anyway, so if it's a tight fit with the ground, he says, on the third wide line of the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, imasik milamata v'unisok milamala, if I heat it underneath, which I have the heat from underneath, v'unisok lamala, and it gets hot on top, under those circumstances, tama evim lav tahor. So we're talking about when is a tanur for the dinim of tumantara? When is a tanur for the dinim tumantara? So Rabbi Yehuda says, if I fit the tanur, and it's going to emerge that we're talking about the first time the tanur is used, I fit it on like a tight hole, and I heat it up underneath, and it's got full heating, and it's wedged in tightly, securely with the ground, and we'll see why that's significant, then it has a din of a tanur, and it can be mekabel tuma. He says, otherwise tahur. But chachamim omrim, hol v'husak mikom akom tameh. According to chachamim, anywhere it's heated up. It doesn't have to be in the ground or anything like that. It's heated up, you know, here, there, the other place. It's a din of a tanur. And now the Gemara is going to explain. What's the point of dispute in that Mishnah? Bahai Kra. They have a dispute about the following Pasuk. Now let me say it outside, then we'll do it inside, and then I'll go over back outside. So usually something which is not mechuber to the karka is mekabel tuma. Something which is mechuber to the karka is not mekabel tuma. That's a general klal. But based on a pasuk, it says tanur v'kiraim yutatz, that a tanur or a kiraim is like a double oven will be demolished. So Rabbi Yehuda understands that it's only mekabel tuma when it is mechuber to the karka, just punk fakert. So an oven is mekabel tuma if it's attached to the ground. If it's not attached to the ground, then it's not mekabel tuma. So just the opposite of what we would normally have. And the chachamim based on the psukim understand that whether it's attached to the ground or it's not attached to the ground, it's mekabel tuma. So let's see back in the Gemara. So he says, So a tanur, it's not susceptible. It's kli cheres. I can't put it into a mikvah, so I have to destroy it. In other words, if it's tameh, the only way to get it out of the tumah is to destroy the tanur. So, but it says tanur b'kirim yutatz, will be demolished. He says, doesn't say, you know, tishberu. Like if it's you know, not attached to the ground, I would use lashon like l'shaber. It says yutatz, which is to demolish something which is attached to the ground. He says, Rabbi Yehuda savar mechuser netitza tameh, something which is meaning that something which is susceptible to netitza, something that, you know, is susceptible to demolishing, that's susceptible to tumah. She'en mechuser netitza tahor. If it's not susceptible to netitza, meaning it's not attached to the ground, then it's tahor. So again, with the oven, we're heading in the direction, we'll bring it back to our Gemara, but the idea is, according to Tanur Rabbi Yehuda, if the oven is attached to the ground, as it was in those examples that we showed before, had a snug fit in the hole in the ground, then it's tamah, then it's susceptible to tumah, otherwise not. He says, "Rabbanan savri tamim yulachem mikom akom." The chachamim hold, you're right, yutatz means it's attached to the ground, but then there's a superfluous phrase, utamim yulachem. So either way, it's tameh. So if it's detached, it's susceptible to tumah. If it's attached, it's susceptible to tumah. For Rabbanan nami aktiv yutatz, So they're coming, but it says utats to be demolished. So what do they do with that? I told you already. Hahula ida kugisa, the sakataita kamina, came into kabri ba'ara, kagufa da aradami. I might have thought once it touched the ground, it's like land. Land can't be makabaltuma. So kamashmalan. So it's teaching me that whether the oven is attached or detached, it's makabaltuma. The idach nami, the other opinion, which is Rabbi Yehuda, haktib tamimim lachem, what does he do with that superfluous phrase? So he says, hahi kid Rabbi Yehuda mar Shmuel. He, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, will darshan in a way similar to Rabbi Yehuda mar Shmuel. Rabbi Yehuda mar Shmuel are Amoraim, they live afterwards, but he would have a similar drash to what we're going to learn right now. The Amar Rabbi Yehuda mar Shmuel, machloket behesek rishon, that the machloket is behesek rishon. In other words, the issue is the first time I fire up the oven. In other words, I have clay, I form it into kli cheres, and now once I heat it up, the oven gets hard. So the way that Rabbi Yehuda learns is like, it only relates to the first time of hesek. And when I heat it up the first time, then it's talui where I heated it up. If I heated it up, it was attached to the ground. Now it's mekabel tuma. It doesn't matter if I heat it up in other places later on. But if the first time I don't heat it up in the ground, it's not mekabel tuma. He says, "Abba hesek sheni afilu talui b'tzavar gamal." But by the hesek sheni, even if I heated up the oven like while it was suspended from the neck of a camel, it's mekabel tuma. Okay, so let's just so slowly. So he says like this. So he says, "What's the phrase?" He says, "Let me get the phrase." Yeah, Tameim Yulachem, Tameim Yulachem, Rabbi Yehuda says, it's teaching me that the status is established by Hesek Rishon. All right, let's just summarize again, okay? Because getting like glossy eyes here.
You're flying tonight.
Yeah, okay, this is a difficult sugya. I want to get through it. Also, I'm fasting, I guess.
Glossy eyes, people are fasting.
All right, that's good.
Okay. Slow that stickle.
Okay, what did you say?
Slow down the stickle, please.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm glad to see that the Mamalashin is wearing off on you. All right. Now, the Mamalashin is the mother tongue. Okay. Mamalashin. Okay. Mama, you know, and Lashin, tongue. Okay. All right. Now, the right, Ruth? Right? Mamalashin, Ruth? All right. Anyway, so again, so we let's just learn the machloket in Masecha Kalim, and then we'll connect it to our sugya. Okay. We're in a sugya with Muksa. In Masechet Kelim, they're talking about Tuma and Tara. So the bottom line, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda holds that an oven is Mekabel Tuma only when it's attached to the ground, not when it's detached from the ground. And he learns it from Tanur B'Kirayim Yutatz. But it comes out that Rabbi Yehuda says the key of it being attached to the ground is only the first time it's heated up. So if it's heated up in the ground, attached to the ground, then it's a keli, and even if I heat it up in other places later on, it's still a keli. That's the way the Tana Rabbi Yehuda learns it. He says, but if the first time I heat it up, it's not attached to the ground, and the first time I heat it up is when it gets a keli, because that's when it gets hardened. It gets hardened when it's heated up. He says, but if the first time I heat it up, it's not attached to the ground, so it's never a keli, it can never be mekabel tuma, according to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. That's the first yesod. According to the Chachamim, whether it's attached to the ground or detached from the ground, it's Mekabel Tuma. That's according to the Chachamim. So let's just do a few more lines of the Gemara. With the 10th very wide line on Kuf Chaf Hey Amud Aleph, 125a, the 15th very wide line. Amar Ula, what?
Needs what? That piece to be the piece that has to be in there in order to be considered attached to the ground.
It has to be a snug fit in the ground.
So it has to have that piece in there.
Right, the stone. Okay, all right. Now, the Gemara says, Amar Ula, Behesek Rishon Rabbanan, Afilu Tlu B'Tzavar Gamal. So Ula says the Chachamim agree that the Hesek Rishon, in other words, they don't agree. They would say the Hesek Rishon could even be when it's hanging from the camel's neck. In other words, it doesn't have to be anywhere for the Hesek Rishon. So according to the Chachamim, an oven is an oven, an oven. An oven is only Mekabel Tuma, whether it's Mechuba L'Karka or not Mechuba L'Karka. And even if it's hanging from the camel's neck, it's still an oven. And when it's heated up, so it's Mekabel Tuma. And according to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, it's only Mekabel Tuma if the first time I heat it up, it was, you know, snugly fit into the ground. Now, all right, one second. Okay, so now let's fit this back into our sugya. Okay, So he says here that Rava says that that's relates to the Dina Mamuksa. So when we had the Brisa dealing with the Shivrei Tanur, so we're talking about that it was heated up the first time when it was detached from the ground. So we're talking about a Tanur that was heated up and was detached from the ground. So according to the Tanur Rabbi Yehuda, it doesn't get a Chalut Shem Kli. And the Shivarim also don't get a Shem Kli. So it's Muksa. Whereas according to the Chachamim, it is called a Kli, and it's not Muksa. That's the way we want to explain the Braisa. Okay, everybody okay with that? Let me see again. Okay, so we learned the Braisa before, Machlok between Rameir and Rabbi Yehuda. Rameir said, if I have the Shivrei Tanur, the broken fragments of a Tanur, I can carry them around. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, I can't. So this is the alternative shot that the Gemara says. It's that's referring to the tanur that we referred to just in the Mishnah we just did. So the tanur was heated up not in the ground. So according to Rameir, a tanur is a tanur is a tanur. So it's a keli. And so if I have shivrei tanur, I can move it around. There's shivrei kelim. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it was never a keli. So it's not a keli. I can't move it. That's what we think. Okay, now let's look back in the Gemara. Okay, we're around the 10th line from the bottom at the end of the line. This is Matkiflo. So Matkiflo Rabashi. So Rabashi, again, not Kafta, a strong question based on Svara. Ihachi ademiflagi b'shivrei tanur liflagu b'tanur gufa. So the Rabashi says, if that's the pshat, why would the Braisa be talking about shivrei tanur, broken pieces of a tanur? Why don't we just say, can a tanur be, is a tanur muksa? Is a tanur muksa? In other words, so according to Chachamim, it's a keli, it's not muksa, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not a keli, it is muksa. Why are we doing shivrei tanur? He says, hashta tanur gufa the Rabbi Yehuda lo habimana. If Rabbi Yehuda holds the tanur itself is not a keli, shvarim bai, it goes without saying that the shvarim are not kelim, or not, you know, don't have a din of keli. So now we have Elam or Avashi. So rather, again, delete, we're going back to our original pshat, right? So Elam or Avashi, liolam kida amrin mi'ikara. We're going back to the original pshat. Original pshat, we said, I have a tanur, and it was a tanur that was snug in the ground. Everybody agreed it was a tanur, and that it broke on Shabbos. He says, uva osam, and so it's the same machloket as in the Mishnah, but we said, why are you giving us tanur? Why don't you say, well, the other cases? So the chiddush is, uva osam masay tapka. He's talking about that he wants to use it like a tile. In other words, he's going the broken shards of the oven, he wants to use it to heat something on, like he would heat it, I guess this works a little better on Yontiv, like he would use it to heat something up. In other words, before he baked bread with it, and now he wants to bake bread with it. He's got a tile. He's going to bake bread with it on it. He says, "Rabbi Meir ledvarav de Rabbi Yehuda ka'amar." So when Rabbi Meir says that it's not muksa, he's saying he's working within the sheet of the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. Ladidi afilu ba'osin me'ein malacha. According to me, i.e. Rabbi Meir, any usage that I have for it takes it out from the getter of muksa. As long as it has a usage, illicit usage, it's not muksa. He says, "El didach." But according to you, Reb Yehuda, you say it has to be like a similar usage that it had before. Odali miha dechahi gavna malachtahu. Why don't you admit to me that in this case, the shivrei tanur are being used for a similar usage? In other words, here I'm using the shivrei tanur. Here, let's get our picture book out. They have. I don't agree with these pictures so much, but. So here in 1128, this is the way he figures it out. He's got this is the broken piece of the tanur here, and he's got pieces of bread on it. That's the way he's imagining it. And this is the way he's imagining a regular tanur. It's not quite the way I originally imagined a regular tanur. So he says like this. He says, Rabbi Yehuda, back in the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda lo dami. Rabbi Yehuda says the two are not comparable. He says, hatam haseiku mibifteim hacha haseiku mibachutz. In a tanur, the heating element is on the inside of the oven. Now, I imagine the bread, and I thought we had this in the Gemara, the bread, I thought, like, fills the whole interior of the oven. Here he's got it, like, patched on the sides of the wall. That's the way he imagines it. I imagine that it occupies the whole interior of the oven. But the point is that the heating element...
It was on the side, on the wall.
Just like this picture?
Yeah.
I thought it was, like, a big piece of dough that's, like attached all around. No?
No, the taking it off was the chachma.
All right, but even if it was filled in the whole interior, would be taking it off. Okay, any event, so here the heat is on the inside of the object. Here, the heat is exterior to it. In other words, the food is here and the heat is here. Here, the heat is on the same side as the food. Here the heat is on a different side of the food. So he says, Hatam Hasekim Bifnim, Hacha Hasekim Bechutz. Hatam Umad, over there, the bread is like attached to the walls of the tanur, and the heat comes from below. He says, Hacha Lav Mu'umad, here the bread is like lying flat on the heating element. You know what I mean? Like that. So the point is that the way we're understanding the Braisa, it is the same machloket, but we want to focus on the oven because we have this application of the piece of the oven and a machloket on whether within, Remeir is arguing within the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, is that usage of the piece of the, like the tile of the, to use the piece of the oven as a tile, is that a similar usage to the use of the oven or not? And Remeir says, I think you, Rabbi Yehuda, should judge it as a similar usage. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, I don't think it is a similar usage for the reasons that we said, that the heat is on the inside or the outside, or the bread is attached to the wall, or in other words, or the bread is like, on lying flat on the element that's being heated up. Okay, any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did? Everybody good? Okay, we have some visitors here tonight. Who are these people? Who is this? Who are you? Identify yourselves. Who's EJ and who's you? Anybody? You want to come forward? No? Don't want to say who you are? Oh, I don't know. You know, I can start adding codes to this thing and nobody comes in until I identify themselves. All right. Let's see further. All right. You know what? I tell you what I'm going to do. Okay. Oh, man. Listen, EJ and you, unless you identify yourselves, I'm throwing you guys out of here really soon. So identify yourself.
You'd throw somebody out of a daf yomi, really?
Yeah, tell me. LJ, not you.
Who is it?
LJ, not you.
So who's LJ and who's EJ?
We daven in your shul for a couple of years. My mother was nifta. We daven in your shul. I daven Mincha Marav.
What's your name? What's your name?
We talked about it.
Okay, fine. I just like to know who I have here. And who's the other person? Who's this IJ?
That's my sister.
Okay, I'd like everybody to be identified. Okay, when I ask for your name, please give me the name. Okay, I just don't like people.
It's LJ.
Okay, I got it. LJ and EJ. Okay, all right, let's go further. All right, now, we're five lines from the bottom. Hey, Rabbi Yosi, Mishum Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, Al Shivri Tanur Yashan Shnital B'Shabbat, V'Al Kisu Yosheinu Tzirich B'Yad. So Rabbi Yosi gave Eidos. When it says Eidos, it usually means that's the halacha. He says that that Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov says that Shivri Tanur could be Nital B'Shabbos, so that we're saying that it's not Muksa. And he says, and that the cover for the oven, they had a lid on the cover, doesn't need a handle. So Amaravina, Kaman Matatlina Haina Kisuye de Tanuri Demata Machasya, Dinla Bedachisa. So Ravina lives at the end of the Zman Amorayim, according to which opinion do we carry the lids of the ovens here, Mat Machasya, that have no handle on it? And you'll see in tomorrow's daft, there's a whole machloket about that. He says, come on, Reb Lezer ben Yaakov. We're following Reb Lezer ben Yaakov. And if you remember, the Gemara says, Mishnah Reb Lezer ben Yaakov, Kavanaki. It's Kav. There's like I think of it like pure heroin. It's a small amount, but it's very pure. And remember that one of the, I think Rotoso says Kav is, or one of the Mepharshim says Kav is Kuv Beis, and they say there are 102 places in Shas. The halacha is like, or Reb Lezer ben Yaakov is mentioned. In each case, the halacha is like him. All right, let's move on, and we're closing in on our Muksa Sugyas. Okay, any questions, comments, or thoughts, anything we did so far? All right, so two lines from the bottom. Man Eaton, Ha'evan Shebekiruya imalin bab inu nofel imalin bab imlav imalin oto. So here again, a stone. Remember, we said a stone is muksa machmet gufo. A stone, it's not ma'achal adam. It's not food, and it's not a keli. So it's not food. It's not a keli. Something that's inherently muksa is a stone, unless it's been designated as a keli. And then we get into the issue: what are the requirements to designate something as a keli? So the Gemara has, I have the kiruya is like the pumpkin gourd, and it's like the shell of the pumpkin, the shell, you know. So I have the shell of pumpkin I'm using as a bucket, I guess, like a sort of like I don't know, the common man's bucket. I have the shell of the pumpkin, and I want to lower the shell into the well or the water, but the shell is going to float like a boat on the water. I want it to sink into the water and then be able to pull it up. So I'm going to put a stone in the shell so it sinks. So the Mishnah says the evan that's mekuri imamalin bav ein nofel. And if I fill it up and it doesn't fall out, meaning if the stone is permanently attached to the shell, then I could use it. It's not muksa. Now I've turned it into a keli. He says bimlav imamalin bav. But if I would fill it up and then the stone would fall off, so I can't use it even to fill it up, because that stone hasn't been attached to the keli, so it doesn't get a din of a keli. Okay, now Amud Beis, Kuf Chaf Hey, 125B.
Can I ask a question on that?
You wait with three this... lines. Wait till I finish the Mishnah. Okay, Zamora Shikshur B'Tafiach. Now, similarly, I have a vine, a grapevine, that's attached to a jug, and I'm going to use the vine like a rope to lower it into the water, Mimalin Bab Shabbat. I could fill it up on Shabbat. Again, if the vine was attached before Shabbos, so the vine becomes part of the keli, and I'm good to go. Pekaka Chalon is the door, the window shutter, the window, in other words, it's a little bit like when they had the riots recently. What do they call it when people like put the wood in the window of the store? What is that called?
When they board it up.
Yeah, board it up. Right. Like boarding up. So Bizman Chazal, people had Chalonot, but the Rav Kahati says they didn't have glass in the windows. They just had a hole in the wall. Sometimes they wanted to close it off either for heat or for security. So they put pekaka chalon. They put like this board in the window. So he's got pekaka chalon. He's got like this board, the window shutter. Reb Lezer remembers man shehu kashur b'talui pokin bo b'imlai b'impokin bo. Reb Lezer says if it's tied, and it's going to come out that it's tied and it would not go onto the ground, in other words, when it's not in use, then I could use it. And the issue here is an ohel arai that I'm attaching to a binyan. In other words, everybody agrees an ohel arai is a temporary ohel. I can't make an ohel on Shabbos, right? And I can't build an ohel on Shabbos. And let's say it's like opening an umbrella on Shabbos. I can't open an umbrella on Shabbos. But what if I have an ol arai, which is attached to a binyan? So here's the machloket. So he holds, under certain circumstances, I could. But chachamim omrim ben kach u ben kach pokin bo. The chachamim hold that regardless, I could be pokek with it. So the first opinion says, sometimes I can, sometimes I can't. And we'll clarify in the Gemara what that is, or a little bit, we'll do more tomorrow. But the idea is that if it never rests on the ground, the first opinion holds, then I could use it. Otherwise, I can't use it. And the second opinion says, regardless, I could use it to close the window. Okay, what do you have for me, Pesach David?
Maybe I missed something. Well, with the stones, I thought we were learning about stones if you designate them before Shabbos.
All right, that's our sugya. Let's hold off. Wait till we do some more ground, and we'll come to it. Okay, because the sugya is really goofy. Going to be how do I change a stone from being muksa to non muksa? Right, that's the sugya.
Yeah, we are with it. They use it for toilet paper. So we said before, if you designate the stones for toilet paper.
But I think when that, when you're talking about the Avanim Kur Zalot, there we said that was an exception to Muksa. That was an exception to Muksa. That's not a good example. That's not a good example.
Okay.
Let's see back in the Gemara.
You have a picture of the last case?
One second. Do they have a picture?
Okay. Yeah.
All right, one second.
I can't. I'm having a hard time understanding the last case.
Here, with the window?
Yeah.
Yeah, so here he's showing, here's the window, and here's the window shutter. So here he's showing like a rope that's attached to the shutter. And in this picture, the shutter rests on the ground. So the Tanakhama would say, I can't use it under those circumstances. In other words, only if the rope is short and it's suspended, then I could use it. But when it rests on the ground, I can't. Okay.
But what does it have to do with an ohel?
In other words, when I attach the shutter to the building, I'm temporarily creating a larger building. That's an ohel. No? An ohel is a structure. So I'm creating like a temporary attachment to the structure. That's an ohel arai. All right?
Okay.
All right. Yeah. Let's get back in the Gemara now.
Or could it be makeh bepatish?
I'm not fair aware that's in play in here. Okay? All right, let's see back in the Gemara. Now, on the fifth line. So the Gemara says, Tananatam, we're going to focus on the first case in the Mishnah, which is the stone with the shell of the pumpkin, and you want to use the shell of the pumpkin with the stone. So Tananatam, we learn in the Mishnah later on in our Masechta, Evan shall pi a chavit, if I have a stone on top of a chavit is a barrel, it's an earthenware barrel, he says, and let's say I have wine in the barrel, and the barrel is among other barrels, and I put the stone on the barrel before Shabbos, and now I want to take the stone off, but the stone is muksa. So he says, Matal tzidav hino felet. So the way Rashi explains later on, the way the article brought down, I'll lift up the barrel, carry it away from the other barrel, so they don't want it to crash on the other barrels. I'll tilt it over, the stone will fall off, and then In other words, that's what do we call that when I tilt the barrel? How do I? What was that called? I can't hear you, Michael. Let's unmute. What?
Tilting the menatzad.
Right, right, right. Pes tavin, and that's what Michael said. I assume. Okay, that's right. That's
tilt. What?
Tiltul menatzad. We had it just the other day. All right. That's in other words, indirectly moving the muksa. Okay. He says, "I'm a rabba. I'm Rabbi Yochanan." Now, here we're going to have two statements of Rabbi Yochanan, or different recordations of it. So, Rabbis is in Rabbami in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. So, Rabbi and Rabbami are linked up. The name of Rabbi Yochanan. Lo shanu el b'shocheach. It's only I put the stone there. I forgot. I didn't intend to necessarily leave it there for Shabbos. Aval b'baniach. But if I intended that the stone should be on top of the chavit for Shabbos, nasa basis davra ha'asur. Now I'm in worse shape. Now the chavit is a basis, a support for muksa. So support for muksa, and the stone is like covering it. In other words, I'm using the stone as like a lid. So now the whole chavit is a basis davra ha'asur. I can't move the chavit at all. So it gets worse. That's the first version. Okay, Rav Yosef, I'm Rav Asi, Rav Yochanan. Rav Yosef says the name of Rav Asi, the name of Rav Yochanan, Lo Shanu El B'Shochech. They both agree that Rav Yochanan made a statement that this halacha about being Mata Al Tzida, which is the Mishnah later on, is only B'Shochech, when I forgot it there. He says, Abal B'Niach, but the second version is where I intentionally left a stone there before Shabbos, Nasi Kisui L'Chavit. So now I've turned the stone into a lid, and it's not worse, it's better. Now the stone is not
moving. Right.
Right. Now the stone is a lid. So they both agree that Rabbi Yochanan says that when I forget the stone there, so I'll lift up the whole casket and tilt it over, and the stone will fall off. But the question is, what if I intentionally leave the stone there before Shabbos? According to one, the stone is muksa and the status doesn't change. And now I made it worse. It's the barrel is basis dava asur. According to the other opinion, now I remove the muksa status from the stone and I can move the barrel because I can even move the stone. So he says, I'm a rabba. So rabba, which is the first opinion, which said that this basis dava asur, motvinan ashmaitin. You know, I have a kasha against myself from our sugya. So rabba's honest. And he looks at our Mishnah and he says, I said that the stone is basis, that the chavit is basis davar asur because the stone remains muksa. I got a kasha on myself because we learned in the Mishnah, ha'evin shebekeruya, the stone that's in the pumpkin gourd, in the shell of the pumpkin, imamalin ba, ve'in anofel imamalin ba. So, I mean, I didn't read right. Ha'evin shebekeruya imamalin ba, ve'in anofel imamalin ba. He says that if the stone is, you know, attached to the shell, and then, so it'll always remain on the shell, that I can continue to use it, and the muksa status is removed. So the way I said it, he says, it should be, the shell should be basis l'davar asur, the stone should be muksa, and the shell should be muksa basis l'davar asur. We don't say that. We say now I can use the stone on Shabbos. He says, velohi, but he says, not true. That's not akasha. Hatam came into hadka shav yadofen. Over there, since he permanently attached the stone to the peel, to the shell, so therefore it lost its muksa status. So that, in other words, I did a maisa with it, right? In other words, I did a maisa with the stone, right? I attached the stone permanently to the shell of the gourd. So therefore it removed the muksa status. In my case, I just put the stone on top of the barrel. I didn't do a maisa with it. I pick up stone, I put it on top of the barrel. So it remains muksa. He says, all right, now Amar of Yosef, now, Rabbi Yosef is the one who said that the stone lost its muksa status. He says, I can ask a kasha against myself also from our sugya. He says, Imlav eimamalin ba. The sugya said that if I have the stone in the shell of the pumpkin, but the shell is not permanently attached to the pumpkin, then it is muksa, and I can't use the shell. So why was that different than my case when I put the stone on the mouth of the chavit? Velohi, he wants to say the two cases are not comparable. Hatam came to Hadka Bituli Batlo. He says, over there, since he didn't attach it, in essence, he didn't fasten it securely, so he's like taking away its classification as a kli. He says, in our case, just putting the stone on top of it. In other words, if I don't properly attach it, then I lower it into the water, so with the thing will fill with water, the stone will fall off. You know what I mean? I'm not making it a keli because I'm kissing it goodbye, right? I'm not making a keli. Here, when I put the stone on the casket, the stone will remain there. I lift it up, I put it back. I lift it up, I put it back. So there he wants to say, it's not that way. Let me just do a few lines and I'll pause for some questions, comments, and thoughts. So the Gemara says, but my kibbutz, what's the point of dispute between Rabbah and Reb Yosef. So it's Mar Savar, Ba'in, and Maisa. So the first opinion, i.e. Rabba, holds, in order to remove the muksa status of the stone, I need an affirmative act, a physical act, to change the status of the stone. Either I'm tying the stone to the peel, or I'll smooth out the stone, I'll do some maisa with the stone. Just to pick up the stone, put it on the chavid, doesn't do a maisa, and doesn't remove the muksa status. That's according to Rabba. Umar Savar, lobin a maisa. And Rabbi Yosef says, no, I don't need a maisa. I just put the stone there, the stone will stay there. I'll say, that's the lid. Showing, I'm good. That's the way it goes. Okay. Any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? What's up, Malka? Let me hear you. Unmute yourself.
I just, what's the point of putting the stone on the barrel except really to use as a lid and to keep it down? Like, why isn't it considered a kli?
In Akinami, that's in his mind what the purpose is, but what does halacha consider to be? When is something a lid? When is it not a lid? When is it a stone? When does it change into a lid? That's the $64,000 question.
It's when you determine that's why you're using it.
Well, I'm so happy you think that way. So the Gemara has two opinions on this. And so Rabbi Yosef thinks like you're thinking, Malka, but Rabbi doesn't think like you. All right? All right, let's take a look further in the Gemara. All right, now the Gemara says, Va'azdu l'tamayhu. Now, in this machloket was a machloket between, again, they're both quoting Rabbi Yochanan. The question is what Rabbi Yochanan said. But we had Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef. So Rabbi had Rabbi Yochanan, I need a maisa to change the status of the rock. And Rabbi Yosef, I don't need a maisa to change the status of the rock, basically. But Rabbah wasn't quoting Rabbi Yochanan himself. Rabbah was quoting Rabbi Ami. And Rabbi Yosef was quoting Rabbi Asi. So the Gemara is going to lay to Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi. So Rabbi Ami is lined up with Rabbah, and Rabbi Asi is lined up with Rabbi Yosef. So Va'azdu Tamayu, they follow their shitot. It says, the Chiatar of Dimia, Amr of Chanina. When Rabbi Dimi came from Israel, he said in Rabbi Chanina, but Amri law, Amr of Zera, Amr of Chanina. Other people say that Rabbi Zera said in Rabbi Chanina. Pamachadalak Rebbe, Lamakomachad. Once Rebbe came to a certain location on Friday, Umatanidbak Shalabanim, he found a row of stones. And again, a row of stones, I think it means like blocks of stone, you know, like the Herodian blocks. So he says, but Amr la Talmidav, he said to his Talmidim on Friday, Se'uva Chashu, I want all of you to think in your minds concerning these stones, Kadeshine Shevelehan Lamachar. He says, so that we'll be able to sit on the stones tomorrow. That's the story. So in other words, I want you to mentally designate these stones for sitting, so we'll be able to sit on them tomorrow. Below Hitzrichan Rebbe Lamaisa, and Rebbe did not require them to do a maisa with the stones. He says, Rebbe Yochanan Amar, but Rebbe Yochanan, that's one version, Rebbe Yochanan Amar, Hitzrichan Rebbe Lamaisa, that Rebbe did require them to do a maisa. So the Gemara says, Maya Amar Luhu. So what, assuming that he did require maisa, what is it that Rebbe told them to do? So Rebbe Ami, now we're clicking into our sugya. So if you remember before, Rebbe Ami was linked up with Rabba, and he says, I need a maisa with the stone. Rabbi Ami Amar, Se'uv Lamdum Amar Lahu. He said, Lamdum here means line up the stones. In other words, move the stones so they're lined up in a certain way that it will evince the intent that we want to use them as chairs. I don't know, you'll have a table and you'll line up the stones and they're all like, lined up around the table, and it's clear we were using them as seats. And that's the maisa. So they're big, heavy stones, and I'm moving them. So that'll be the maisa. He says, Rabbi Asi Amar, Rabbi Asi Amar, Se'u v'shaf shafum Amar lahu. Rabbi Asi says, now the Gemara takes it that Rabbi Ami's version is, one second.
Rabbi Asi is mine.
Position the stones right. So I'm sorry. So he says, so you move it so we won't have to move them on Shabbat. I didn't explain right. Let me go back again. I'm sorry. So Rabbi Ami said, move them into place so we won't have to move them on Shabbos, meaning they will retain their muksa status. In other words, the stone is a stone. The stone will remain muksa. I could sit on muksa. Remember, we learned, unless, like, we were talking, there's a block. Remember, we had a whole machloket about a stone, whether I could sit it on Shabbos. But a building block, I'm not going to move the building block. I could sit it. So he says, range the building block so because they will retain their muksa status, and now we'll be able to use it without moving them. He says, because they are muksa. He says, so Rabbi Ami Mar Suvalam Do Amar Lahu. Rabbi Asi Amar, Tzu B'Shav Shafum Amar Lahu. Rabbi Asi said, he said, go like polish them so we will be able to move them. So the point is that according to the first opinion, Rabbi Ami's version, the stone is going to remain muksa, and doing a small maisa, like polishing them, won't remove it from the muksa. I need to do a big maisa with it. And according to the second opinion, even a small maisa would be enough. So each one is lined up. So with the first opinion, I need a big maisa. So putting the stone on the cask is not a big maisa, and it remains muksa. And according to the second opinion, a small maisa is enough to take it from muksa status. And but putting the stone on the casket is a small maisa, and it takes it out from the muksa status. So let me just do a few more lines, then I'll pause. So the Gemara says, Itmar, Rabbi Yossi ben Sha'ul Amar. Rabbi Yossi ben Sha'ul says, it was not, the incident didn't take place with stones. It was Savar Shal Korot Hava. It was a pile of beams. And the question was, either line up the beams ahead of time or polish the beams. He says, Rabbi Yochanan ben Sha'ul Amar, essentially Rabbi Yossi ben Sha'ul, Rabbi Yochanan ben Sha'ul Amar, Gashosh Shal Sfina Hava. It was like this prod they would use. How does he translate it? He says, where is the translation?
Sounding pole of a ship.
Yeah, yeah. So it's the pole, like you're sticking in the water to see how deep the water is. They would like, you know, travel in very shallow water. So Gashosh Shal Sfina Hava. So Mandamar Gashosh, in other words, according to the opinion, there was a Gashosh, and I'm allowed to make a small shinui to the Gashosh to polish it up or something to be able to sit on it. So he says, Kol Shekein Savar. So certainly the beams would work. He says, Umandamar Savar, the one who says with the beams, about Gashosh Kapitale. In other words, he'll learn Gashosh is Muksa Machman Chisaron Kis. It's a very valuable object. I don't want people to patch around with it. And it's a type of muksa, and a small act like polishing it up wouldn't remove it from muksa. Okay, let's just summarize what we did and take it down. So the basic topic we're discussing is a stone. When is a stone, and when is a stone not a stone? So a stone, stam, the default for a stone is muksa, muksa, muksa. When you see a stone, like the light should be going off, muksa, muksa, muksa. I see a stone, you know? So but when is a stone not a stone? So according to the Gemara, according to one opinion in the Gemara, I have to do a maisa with the stone, a significant maisa with the stone, in order to remove it from the muksa status. Otherwise, it remains muksa. And according to the second opinion, even a small maisa with the stone, just like lifting it up and using it as a lid, is enough to remove the muksa status. That's basically what we learned. Let me see what he has here. One second. Yeah, so it sounds just, like. All right, one second. Yeah, so it looks like the Gemara is like passing like Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Ami was lined up with Rabba, right? So that sounds like the more chamor shita. So I have to look halach lemaisa about how we hold with the stones. You know, when does a stone lose its muksa status or not? I need to look halach lemaisa. But you have the basics in the Gemara for everything. All right, any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did?
Yeah. So touching muksa is not a problem. Just moving muksa.
Moving muksa is the issue, not touching muksa, right? But so, but remember, we discussed. I don't know if you were here, or we discussed. Like, let's say I want to sit on muksa, sitting on muksa. So then we had a machloket among the mefarshim whether I'm allowed to sit on a muksa item, even if I'm not using it. Somebody's got to mute themselves.
How is that different?
Oh no, I have a question.
Wait. We have to mute you first. Okay. Now, Yosef, you unmute yourself, Yosef. So the So are we okay with that, Yosef, or not?
How is sitting different than touching it?
So sitting in it, you're getting hana'ah from the object itself. So we discussed in the Gemara like sitting on a stone. So we said that there's an opinion, I think it was from Rabbi Akiva Eger, that he held that you're not allowed to sit on a muksa item. It was, I think, Rabbi Akiva Eger. One second. A minute. Yeah, there's Rabbi Akiva Eger. He says, even though you're allowed to touch a muksa item, it's prohibited to use and derive pleasure from a muksa item on Shabbos. That's the way Rabbi Akiva Eger said. All right. Now, okay, Malka, what's up? Now it's time to shine. What do you got, Malka?
No, so now, just to verify, the maaseh that you have to do is before Shabbat, right?
Right.
Okay.
All right. Wait. Let's go further.
So if you go to the park on Shabbat and you want to sit down on a stone.
Right. It's machloket poskim whether you can sit on the stone.
But if I had in mind on Friday, I mean, obviously
that's Talui. That's Talui with the other issue, and it's questionable in my mind whether you could designate a stone that's in the park. In other words, the stone is not your stone. In other words, if I take a stone from Hefker and I designate it, I'm the Baalim on the stone. Here, the stone belongs to like the Great Neck Park District. You know, you're not even the. In other words, let's say you have a stone in your backyard. Can I designate the stone in your backyard?
With pleasure.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, that's
how. What if there's a bench in the park and it's made out of stone?
Yeah. So then that's different. In other words, that was physically constructed as a bench.
Correct.
That's a big mice. That's a big mice. Everybody would agree it's not muxedan. Okay. Let me go back. Let's mute everybody, and then we'll go on, and then we'll wrap it up. Okay. So, So we're 10 lines from the bottom. On Kuf Kaf Hey Amud Beis, okay, and Blinet, I'm going to see everybody. I hope on Sunday at 10 a.m. All right, and then this Sunday you also have a shir by Rabbi Avi Goldberg or by Dr. Avi Goldberg at 8 a.m. for Sunday's daf, and I'm doing Shabbos daf at 10 a.m. Okay, Zmorah Shik Shura, and also a Parsha Shir tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Whoever wants to can make it. So the Gemara says Zmorah Shik Shura Chuli. Now this is a different case. We said if I have a vine that's tied to a tafia, to a jug. And I want to use the vine like the rope. I could use it. That's what we said in the Mishnah. So he says, "Kshira in lo kshira lo." So it's a kshira in lo kshira lo. Only if it's it sounds like I can only use it if it was tied. If it's not tied, I couldn't. In other words, let's say the way they had in the art school. Let's say I have a vine and there's a crook in the vine, and it was like you know like a bend in the vine, and I want to like it's like a hook. I want to use the vine just and let the jug go down that way. So it sounds like dafka only if it's tied. If it's not tied before Shabbos, I can't use it. So the Gemara says, "Lema anith lo kro Rabbi Gamliel." Should we say that our Mishnah does not follow the sheet of the Tana Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the Tanya, because we learn in the Brisa, "Charayot shel dekel shegidron le'etzim." That's how you have like charayot is like wood. What does he say? Charayot branches. Right? The branches. What does he say? He says branches. Right. The branches of the date palm. And I snipped them off the date palm for wood. I was going to use it as fuel. So on Shabbos, obviously, it's muksa. He says, "Benimlach aleim liyeshiva." And then I decide I'm going to use it as a chair. You know, I have all the wood piled up. I'm changing the status. Bango. Now it's a chair. So he says, "Sarich l'kshur." So the Tanakhama says, not so fast. I have to tie it up. So when I tie all the wood together, that's like showing I'm not using it for fuel anymore. I want to tie it together to be a chair. So then I could use it, then it's a chair. He says, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, ain't Sarich L'Shur. Tana Rabbi Shimon says, no, I don't have to be kosher. And Mela, I am free to use it. So we think that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel would not be like our Mishnah. Like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel doesn't require, we think that our Mishnah is saying I need a Maisa to take it out from the status of being just a vine to being like a rope. And the action is tying it up. That's the status. And Rabbi Shimon says, I don't need to tie it. So Mela, he wouldn't agree with our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Shesha, Afilu Tam Rav Shimon Gamliel." So Rav Shesha says, you can even say our mission is in accord with Rav Shimon Gamliel. "Hacha b'yaskinan b'mechuberet ba'avia." I could say the mission is talking about a vine that's still attached to the mother vine. In other words, so I want to use a vine that's like attached to the mother tree. He says, and so therefore, it's saying that and let's say I have a well or a pool of water nearby, and I tie it to the jug on Friday, then I could use it, otherwise not. So that's the case we're talking about, not like where it's been detached. So ihachi kamishtamish mechuber lekarka. If that's the case, how does it get off the ground? If I could use that term, in other words, how can you even articulate using it? It's something that, like trees, there's a prohibition. You remember from using a tree, climbing a tree on Shabbos. There's a concern. You're going to be tolish from the tree, cut the tree. So I can't lean on the tree. You can't climb the tree on Shabbos. So here, how am I allowed to use a vine if it's attached to the mother tree? So lamata mishlosha. So he says it could be the vine is less than 3 tefachim off the ground, and that which is less than 3 tefachim off the ground is not considered like part of the growth. It's part of considered more closer to the ground, and that's the case in the Mishnah. Ravashi Amar, Afilu Tema Betlusha. Ravashi says, look, I could even say that our Mishnah is talking about a detached vine, and it does require it to be tied, and it could be in accord with Rav Mishnah Galil. Gzeira Shema Yiktom. In the Mishnah is a concern that I might snip the vine. So if the vine is detached and now I want to use it. Maybe I'm going to snip it on Shabbos, and that would be makib apatish, and I'll do a malach on Shabbos. But if it's tied to the jug before Shabbos, there's a presumption that I've already checked out the size. In other words, if I took the effort on Friday to tie it to the jug to lower it, so I looked at it and made a cheshbon with it. So here, even Rosh Gamliel would say it has to be tied ahead of time. In other words, here I'm concerned about it being snipped, so he says it has to be tied. But with the wood, where it was already cut off to turn it into a seat, there it doesn't have to be tied. Okay. All right. Then next piece. Now, pekaka chalom v'chuli. Now we had the window shutter, and you saw the picture of the window shutter before. So I'm a rabbi baruch on Rabbi Yochanan kol modim shein osin ol arai b'tchil b'yom tov ein tzrich lomar b'shabbat. So everybody agrees I can't make an ol arai. Ol arai is a temporary ohel. I can't make a temporary ohel. You know, like an ohel that's made to be put up and taken down. There'll be a temporary ohel. Like a lot of they're putting up different structures now. On you know, is in Allenwood Park. I don't know if you've been there, but they built these two tents with open air on the side, put tables inside. It looks like a base medrash, and I don't know why they built it, but it looks like an ol arai. But it looks like a good idea for a yeshiva. Any event, so he says everybody agrees I can't make an ol arai on Shabbos and Yantiv, and I said the most common application is like you know an umbrella is prohibited on Shabbos and Yantiv. And let's say you want to build a chuppah, not that you would, but for other reasons, but even building a chuppah, like putting a tent over, you know, four poles, that would be making an oil on Shabbos. So he says, and on Yatta, lo nechlu el hosif. Machloket is, I have a building already, and now I want to, like, put a temporary attachment to the building, i.e. the shutter. He says, Shereb Lezer Omer, Emos Fin B'Yom Tov, Ein Tzrich Lomar B'Shabbat. Shereb Lezer, which is the second opinion of the Mishnah, says, I can't do that on Yantiv, and I certainly can't do it on Shabbos. In other words, the same luck on Yantiv and Shabbos of Bona, but Yantiv, you know, is less chamor than Shabbos. I can't do it on Yantiv, I certainly can't do it on Shabbos. He says, B'Chachamim Omerim, Mosfim B'Shabbat, Ein Tzrich Lomar B'Yom Tov. The Chachamim hold, no, I could do it, I could add on to it on Shabbos, and I certainly do it on Yantiv. All right, now, three more lines, that'll be it. But Chachamim Omerim Bein Kach Ubein Kach Pokinbo. So Chachamim were Mekil. They said, so again, Reb Lezer says, I could add on to it if it's a very short string and it has to be attached with the string and it doesn't and touch the ground, then I could use it. In other words, then it's enough, like, connected to the building that I could use it. He says, otherwise not. The Chachamim said, Bein Kach Ubein Kach, you could use it. So my Bein Kach Ubein Kach, Amr Baba, Amr Rav Kahana, top line on Kuf Chapav Mar Aleph, he says, Bein kashur, bein she'eno kashur, whether it's tied to the building or not tied to the building, v'hu shemetukan, provided that it was prepared to use the shutter before Shabbos, then I could, you know, when he made a mental designation of it before Shabbos, then they hold that I could use it. Okay, any questions, comments, and thoughts on anything we did?
What does hitting the ground mean?
You're going to have to do the sugya tomorrow. You have to do the sugya tomorrow. Okay? All right. That's it. Okay, I'm going to end the recording now. Let me end recording. Okay.